Welcome, welcome to the English Podcast with Tommy from learnenglishwithtommy.com.
Hi there. Before we start this week's episode, I've got a question for you. Would you like to improve your English on the go with weekly grammar exercises, a WhatsApp group chat, and podcast transcripts from this podcast? If the answer to all of these questions is yes, 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 then go to www.tommybradfordsenglishschool.com/English to go for more details. And now, you know, you might have visited and might have visited on holiday, you might have visited online, but today I have a guest who lives in Bali. He's the man who's famous for a weekly trivia quiz, which recently touched on etymology, mythology, and other ologies. I'd like to welcome on his podcast debut, Dr. Josh Sakutni. Good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing good. For the first time, I actually know what you look like. I actually know who you are, because you are the man who hides behind the trivia. And, you know, every weekend, it's usually on a Sunday when I get up, and, you know, it's probably sometime during the afternoon in Bali, you've already published the trivia quizzes. And once every week, I harass you with my score, telling you how many points I've got. And I wonder what I do to you is rather put you sort of through the grinder and say, oh, he's got 6 points again. I was expecting more out of you. You know, recently you actually did say, I created a trivia quiz specially for you, and I only managed to get something like 4 points. So, I wonder whether what I do to you is not, is more annoying rather than sort of just saying good morning and hi and thank you for the trivia quiz.
Not at all. You know, I love getting messages after I put up trivia, and I would say every week I get a handful of people just like you who will reach out and say, I only got 4 this week, or I got 10 this week, or I got 9 this week. Mm. And I'm happy to hear from everyone regardless of their score. However, those who tell me they have like 2 points or something, I will give you some playful chastising. And I think that it's just part of my personality, I guess, but it's also a slight motivator to keep you going. So next week, maybe you could do a little bit better, or yeah, something like that. But for me, it's just an opportunity to engage with people that like to play my trivia.
Yeah. I do love doing it. You know, it's probably the first thing on a Sunday morning that I do is wake up, mm-hmm, look in my stories on Instagram, and I see there's the next trivia quiz coming. So I'm like, okay, sign me up for that. You know, I'm ready to sacrifice my mental well-being for, you know, for 5 minutes of trivia. You know, and it makes my day. It sort of, it glues the day together at the beginning of it, despite it not even starting. It glues the day perfectly together, because, you know, I know Sunday morning there is going to be the trivia quiz coming from you, and I know that I'm going to be not the first one to be able to do it, obviously, because of the time difference. But, you know, it's something to look forward to at the weekend. Just a quick one here, Josh, because, you know, there are going to be listeners who have never heard of you before and probably thinking, I'd love to know a bit more about you. Where are you from originally, and how did you make it to the island of Bali?
I'm from Ohio. And by the way, hello to all the people that I haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, but I hope we can connect in the future. I'm from Ohio, a U.S. citizen, and I made it to Bali by pure chance. Life is very unpredictable, and actually I started off working in finance and business, and it wasn't for me. I didn't really enjoy it, so I started looking for other employment opportunities, and this was fresh after graduation from college. Mm-hmm. And a job opportunity popped up to teach English in South Korea, and so I applied the job, and I went to Korea like 2 months after applying and went through the visa process and all that fun stuff, and then I just started teaching. And I realized that education is something that's pretty important to me, so continued to teach, did my master's degree while I was in Korea, did it online, and then a job opportunity popped up in Jakarta to be the head of the English department for it's not international school, intercultural school, I guess is what you want to call it, Jakarta, Indonesia. And I worked there for 4 years. And then I met my beautiful wife and I stopped teaching. And she had actually already owned a piece of land in Bali. And we decided when we got married that I would stop teaching and she and I would build a business together. And so we moved to Bali, we built a restaurant and like service departments. And after about a year or so, I started missing education a little bit. And so I created this account and I started working on my doctorate in educational psychology just to keep my head in the education game and still to share what I know about learning, share different research I've come across that I think would be beneficial for people like you and perhaps your followers. And just sort of stuck with it. And now I just do light educational consulting. But that's how I ended up in Bali.
Okay, so you went, you took the long way, a sort of geographically, you went around the world, you went 3/4 around the world from Ohio, ended up in the Far East, in Jakarta, in South Korea, went from there to, went further south to Jakarta in Indonesia, and then you ended up in paradise. Now, you know, there are going to be listeners thinking, that is amazing, so we're going to give you a big clap there. You know, and I can just about hear the echoes of the clapping coming in from all the, you know, coming in from all over the world listening to, yeah, can you hear it? You can hear it as well? There you go.
I can hear it.
That's what we like here. We like feel good stories here. You know, and we like to egg people on, and we like to tell people that what you do is good. And we wish you the very best of luck in your continuance with what you do out in Bali. But you're not here to talk about life.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. You're not actually here to talk about life on Bali. You're here more to talk about the trivia that you do every week.
Right.
Now, for those of you unaware, Josh does a weekly trivia quiz every week. And, you know, he is... I don't know how much effort that takes to be able to put the quiz together and to put the time... You know, to put the countdown going as well, because recently you put a countdown in as well, which puts more pressure on the people doing the quiz to actually finish the answers as quickly as possible. How much effort does it take for you to put that quiz up every week?
When I first started, I think I've been doing it for just about 3 years now. Every Sunday, I think I skipped a couple weeks, either if I were on vacation or Christmas or something like that. I didn't put it together, but at least 4 times per month. And it, I don't know, it takes about an hour. Initially, it used to take a little bit more because I didn't have the platform that I do now. And I would have to manually count. I would use the Instagram sticker where you could select A, B, C, or D for the Insta story. And my wife would help me. I had a notebook. And every Monday morning, we would have breakfast, have our coffee, and I would write down everybody's name and tally and count all the scores. And then eventually this program came along called Formaloop, which is what I use right now. When you click on the link, it'll take you out of Instagram to do the trivia. And it took me a few hours to get it set up so that the logic flows. Like if you miss a question, it'll say, ah, you know, you suck. Or if you get it correct, it'll say, ah, you know, here's a clapper. And then also it'll automatically count up the points. So I had to install like a calculator in there and stuff. But once I got that going, I just have such a large bank of trivia questions that every week I pull from that. And so I used to do a Clubhouse trivia back in the day with someone I met on Instagram, and that was fun. But that was really time consuming. This one, not so much anymore, to answer your question. But,
okay.
Yeah, I would say an hour per week is all it really takes.
Considering it takes you an hour every week, it takes us about maybe 10 minutes to answer the questions. You know, so we're doing what you do, we're doing maybe 1 minute per 1 minute for every 6 minutes that you take. You know, that's a big ratio difference between what you're investing in the time, but what we invest as the answers, you know, the responders of the answer to these questions. And there'll be people thinking, trivia, not really my sort of thing. I'm a learner. What can I learn out of it?
It really just depends. I mean, there's no shortage of topics out there for trivia. And so when I look at this, I try not to make it so general, because the more general it is, I feel the less people have an opportunity to perform well. And I like it when it's a little bit more structured, in the sense that every week there's some specific topic. It might not be your thing, but you've sort of already built up the habit to play it every week anyway. So perhaps taking this quiz, it'll be on a topic like geology, let's say. I know jack crap about geology, to be honest with you. But I'll still put up five questions about geology, and I'll learn in the process. And that's kind of the same mentality that I have, hoping that other people will play. It's like, well, maybe one question will pop up about geology and you know it, like something really simple, like sedimentary rocks or something like that. And then it gets increasingly more difficult, but you might find the question that interests you. It just piques your interest just a little bit, and it might encourage you to look it up later. And that's all I'm trying to do. I mean, I have no financial gain whatsoever from doing this trivia. It's just, I like piquing interests. I like those aha moments that people can have. And so throwing some questions in there, learning along the way myself too, and inspiring other people to be a little bit more curious about the world that we live in. I think that's why some people should participate in trivia, even if it's not a topic that they actually enjoy.
I have to say that your recent recent offering, that mythology, you did it over 2 days. You know, you had the shorter version, and you had the longer version about mythology. There was a question which you asked, who was the god of wines and festivities? And the first thing that came to my mind was Bacchus, because of the wine. And I clicked on it on the first day. I clicked on it, and immediately it came up with, wrong, it's Hades. I was like, no, you pulled me into it. You duped me into clicking Bacchus, because it, you know, in the back of your mind, in the back of my mind at least, I had the Roman god of festivities, Bacchus, and not the Roman, not the Greek god that you were looking for. And then on the second day, the question came up again. It's like, you're not going to get me this time, Josh. You're not going to get me this time, Josh. You're not going to get me this time, Josh. And I closed my eyes. I was like, it's not Bacchus. It's this one. Click on it. Correct answer. I was like, well, there you go. You're not going to get me on this one. You know, but you did. You got me thinking quite a lot when it came also to the Egyptian god with the jackal face, wasn't it? The jackal faced.
Yep.
And I was like, I remember doing it at school. I was like, was it Ra? Was it Osiris? And both times that I clicked on it, it came wrong. And I was like, damn it, I still didn't remember what it was. Can you tell me what the answer was, just so that you can remind me?
The Egyptian one was, hold on, let me find a question here. I think the answer was Anubis.
Boom, thank you. Anubis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Jackal-headed Egyptian god associated with mummification and the afterlife. That's the question.
Yeah, exactly. That was the one that twice in 2 days I could not answer, and I was like that really annoyed me. Should have maybe remembered the answers that you'd remember the answers from the previous day, written them down somewhere, and then I'd have the answers ready to go on the following day. So basically, would you say that trivia can be used for all level students to improve not only their general knowledge, but also their vocabulary, their grammar, and their syntax as well?
Absolutely, I don't see why not. your biggest challenge would just be finding material and content that's relatable to that age group. And not because of their age, so to speak, but their ability level. We like to pigeonhole students based on their age because everybody learns, they can learn at any age. But ability level, you have to really target it. And even go a little bit outside of their comfort zone and ask questions that might pique more interest outside of what you're talking about. Kind of like what we just discussed. You know, young learners, there was a research study in preschoolers who, it wasn't specifically on trivia, but when they were given a little piece of information, if it was something that was relatable to them, they would remember it better, and then they would look into it on their own. Even at the preschool level, they'd be curious about it. They would ask questions about it. And I have that research study somewhere on my page. I posted it maybe a year ago or something. I can't remember. And I thought that was really fascinating because even preschool students are, we know that younger learners are curious, but to go out of their way to learn more about something that just happened in passing is quite impressive.
I have to admit that is right, you know, because I have one of my, you know, one of our three kids that we have is at school. He's in grade two, and he brought home like a worksheet about dinosaurs. And our sandwich kid, you know, our middle, he then saw this picture of a dinosaur on this worksheet, and he was like, "Oh, I'm really fascinated by dinosaurs," you know. And he then went upstairs to his room, found his dinosaur book, and he's preschool, so he can't read, but he went upstairs nevertheless, went to find that dinosaur book he had, and he went and started looking at the pictures, and he started asking questions. What dinosaur is that? What does it, you know? And he was like so fascinated just because of to associate a worksheet from a school kid and take it to find a book about dinosaurs. It's gobsmacking. You're thinking, you're not even at school and you're already doing schoolwork. You're already looking at what your brother's bringing home. Another worksheet he brought home about chocolate, for example. And, you know, our five-year-old, he was just asking questions. What does it say about chocolate on this worksheet? You know, it's just beautiful to see how a five-year-old and a seven-year-old communicated with each other, despite a five-year-old not being able to read, obviously because of his preschool age, you know. And he was like, it was gobsmacking. It was amazing. If there are listeners listening in here, and there will be listeners, so you're not going to be, don't worry about this. There will be people listening in. You're probably thinking, oh no, it's just going to be like a handful of people who are not interested at all in trivia. There will be people listening who are interested in trivia. If we get to the point where we think, okay, We're interested in using trivia to improve our language skills. How would you, as an educator, tell listeners to use? How would you start with trivia? You know, because with songs, for example, you can start listening to a song, or with a book, you can start reading it, maybe in your own in your native language first, then read it in English. You know, with films and TV series, it's basically the same thing. But in trivia, it's a bit different, isn't it? Because you might not have the same trivia questions in your native language as you have in English.
Yeah.
So how would you start? How would you start the process off?
Well, first thing I would do is, you know, a little bit of backwards planning. Look at who your learner is. Look at where they stand right now. And then start to look at where they want to be. And for you to understand that, of course, you have to get to know your learners a little bit better. You have to understand what they want by the end of the learning experience. Now, of course, that's going to differ. Adults are a little bit more driven than children are. But let's just say, in the general sense, think about where you want them to be, and then start thinking about different questions you can ask that will help them get there. And let's use a very basic example, and I'll draw on what you just said about music and songs.
Hmm.
Let's say you're teaching an English language learner who is not from a native speaking country, so to speak, a country where English is not used on a daily basis. Yeah. They weren't raised in that language, that's fine. But likely, there's going to be some music that they've heard on the radio that's in English. Hmm. Probably they're gonna hear some Lady Gaga or whatever's hot and popping these days. I don't really know. But a little thing you could do with trivia is simply put segments of the song as answers to a question and ask, identify which of these has a noun, or which of these has a noun, and then you pick four options. One of them only has a noun, the other one just has a few verbs in it, and maybe like a participle or something like that, and preposition or whatever. And maybe if you're really clever and you have a platform that can do this, even have the music playing as it takes place. Something like Kahoot.
Yeah.
You've probably used Kahoot before. I'm not sure if you can upload music or sound. Might be able to. But if you can have that going in the background, aha, they're going to be like, okay, well, I know this song, so I'm here, I'm hooked, I'm ready to go.
Hmm.
And then you ask that question, okay, identify these lyrics from the song, which one has the noun?
Yeah.
Which one has a verb? Something like that. That's the quickest answer I can give you right now, just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a good way to start.
That's
so finding cool. Things that are relatable to them, things that they can draw on, and make it as relatable to their life. And that's going to take a lot of effort on your part to get to know them, to know what's important, to know what they've already experienced and what they have not experienced, who they talk to, what movies they watch, what TV shows they watch, what books they read, all of these things.
Yeah. So
it's kind of like a give and take.
Yeah, exactly. So, Josh, I'm going to draw something for you with my fingers. A box.
Mm-hmm.
A magical box. Can you see the magical box?
I can.
Okay. So that magical box is where we're going to put all your details, how to contact you under this episode. So tell us, how can we contact you on social media? Where can you be found? And, you know, for listeners who are really excited to get themselves strapped into your weekly trivia, where will we find all of that information? Where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram. My handle is at Dr. Josh Sack. That's the easiest way to get in contact with me. That's about the only social platform I use at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you drop me a follow or send me a DM or something like that, we can get communication. I can share a little bit more with you about what I do, what I like to share. And of course, every week you'll be able to see in my stories when I post that weekly trivia. And you can jump in whenever you want. One thing about weekly trivia that we didn't really discuss, but I do want to point out, is we take the scores for the entire month from players. And at the end of the month, the player with the highest score receives an Audible book for free from me. So far, I think I've given out 12 or 13 audiobooks up to this point. I only started this about a year ago. So if you're not a big reader, but you like to listen, or you're stuck in the car often, or subway, or you commute to work or whatever, it's a good opportunity for you to catch up on some reading.
That there, dear listeners, is definitely an incentive for you to now go and follow Josh. If you don't think an Audible book is something for you, if you don't think an Audible book is going to help you learn English, then I don't know what will, you know. Dr. Josh Sack, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure having you on here. It's been a pleasure listening into how we can use trivia to improve your English. So we'd like to thank you very much for your time. And we'd like to, as I said at the beginning of the program, wish you all the best of luck with your business venture that you and your wife have got going down in Bali. And you, dear listeners, you'll join me. I appreciate your time, you know, because time costs money, and money costs money, and you get the thread here. You get what I'm trying to talk about. Yeah. Almost got lost in Alice's rabbit hole there. That's a different thing though. You, dear listeners, have now got a reason to go and learn English with trivia. And until you listen to the next episode of the English Podcast with Tommy, it's another goodbye from Bali. He said bye. He's waving to you, but you can't see him. He said bye by waving. And it's another goodbye from me. Thank you very much. Goodbye now.